example explicitly written in the scriptures, then I would do it. If it is not expressly written in the scripture, like, thou shalt keep your family worship, if there is no such verse, I will not do it. There is no verse in the Bible that say we must worship in an air-conditioned building. There is no verse in the Bible to say that we must wear suit when we preach. There are many things that we do as a Christian. You do not find it explicitly taught in Scripture. And God understands this, and that's why He gave to us chapters like Romans 14, where we are given certain liberty to do certain things as long as you do it as unto the Lord. To consider certain days as special, as holy, as long as you keep it as unto the Lord. Like in this church, we observe Christmas, Easter, Reformation Sunday, and for the Mandarin-speaking brethren, they observe in this church the first day of Chinese New Year as a gathering of God's people in worship before they depart and do home visitation as in Chinese New Year. But as long as they keep it as unto the Lord, God says, it is fine, it is acceptable. And family worship would belong to that particular category. Just like you do not find the phrase quiet time. These are terms coined by modern day Christians to describe certain events that are very beneficial. And some of them would be in the church, and some of them would be in the life of the Christian. And family worship is for the Christian family. And this is one of the things that we emphasize in premarital counseling. We encourage the couple to pray together before they begin the day, and as they say goodbye in the evening at the close of the day, to pray together before the guy sends the girl home. Why? Why is it so important for two Christians to pray together? Why is it important for the Christian parent to pray together with their children? What is the significance? Why is the family, the Christian family, so significant in the overall scheme of God's plan for His church, for His people? The meaning of the phrase family worship immediately implies that if you do not have a Christian spouse, it does not apply to you. In other words, it is a privilege and honor bestowed upon a Christian husband and a Christian wife. If you do not have a Christian husband and you are a Christian wife, if you want to have family worship and your husband is in another room, it's incomplete. And because it is a privilege given to a Christian husband and a Christian wife, a Christian father and a Christian mother, all the more this privilege must not be disdained. It must be taken advantage of. Because there are certain demands that God expects of the husband especially and the Christian wife in bringing up children. And the passage I'd like us to consider, of course, is none other than Deuteronomy chapter 6, the passage that we have read during responsive reading. And in this passage, we are given certain important teachings from God's Word regarding the Word of God. The Word of God in the life of the believer, the Word of God in the life of the family. In this passage, you'll find that in verses 1 to 3, the benefits in keeping God's Word. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So this was the instruction that God gave to the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness. They had just completed 40 years of wilderness wandering. They were on the brink of crossing the River Jordan and to conquer the promised land and to live in the promised land. Very soon, within a very short few years, they are going to be landlords. They were once upon a time slaves, never owned anything in their lives. But very soon they are going to own vineyards. As far as the eye could see, all the land would be theirs. They're going to be very rich. They're going to live in cities with high walls. They're going to live in homes with nice ceilings that they did not build. They're going to live in a land of milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey. And so God said, I want you to live with the Word of God as your guide, as a lamp unto your feet to guide you in life's pathway. Why? Verses 2 and 3, you will have two benefits. The first benefit in verse 2 is that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee that thou and thy son's son all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. They, as parents, must keep the Word of God. And not only must they themselves keep the Word of God, but God wanted them to glorify Him by passing it on to their children. And not only to their children, but also to their grandchildren. In other words, it was supposed to be their heritage, a legacy that they will leave behind for their children. Not in terms of their houses, their homes, the sheep and the cattle, or anything that is tangible, that is considered as so important to us today, measured in terms of dollars and cents. It is measured in terms of spiritual value that cannot be measured by money, that money cannot buy. It is a spiritual heritage that they must pass on to their children as they lived in the promised land. Now, we have no promised land other than that which God has promised us in heaven. Singapore is not our promised land per se, although we live in Singapore. But the principle in passing on this heritage, this legacy, that is the spiritual legacy, the Christian faith, still stands. If Israel were to exist in the land without being removed from the land, without being exiled from the land, they must keep the Word of God and pass it on to their children. Because if they don't, which they did not, they pay the price. They may have lived in the land for more than 200 years for the northern kingdom, and for the southern kingdom, another 100 years more, 300 years. They were sadly, inevitably exiled into Babylon for 70 years because they did not pass it on to son and to grandson. And they paid the ultimate price. They did not live long in the land that they possessed because they worshipped idols. Because they became idolatrous not only in their worship but in their lifestyle. You see, you and I cannot divorce worship and lifestyle. They are one and the same. You cannot say that I worship God in a godly way, but then my lifestyle is that of the world. It's totally different and it does not resemble anything Christian. But when I worship God properly in a godly church. But when I go out into the world, when I live in the world, I am a totally different person. You cannot do that. God cannot accept this kind of hypocrisy. You must be one and the same. The same God that you worship must be the same God that dictates and controls your lifestyle. And when the father failed, and failed the son will in turn fail his son. And all you need is one generation of failure to pass it on or to fail to pass it on. And that's it. That's why it is so important that this passing on, this continuity, cannot afford to be broken. Because the price is too high. The souls of your sons, your grandchildren will be at stake. Very heavy price to pay. The second benefit in verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. the welfare of man, the glory of God and the welfare of man. This would be the benefit. You want to live a life that will glorify God? Obey God's word. You want to live a life whereby you will also bring blessing to yourself? Obey God's word. And the second last verse tells us, if you were to keep all these statutes, it will be for our good always. Guaranteed. You know of anyone who will give you a guarantee for obeying certain things, for doing certain things? God has given us that guarantee. If you were to obey God's word, God's promise 100% guaranteed for our good always. Not for our good sometimes, not for our good most of the time, but for our good always. Observe all the do nots, and at the same time follow and obey all the do's, combine them together, it will turn out for our good always. Pass it on to your children and pass it on to your grandchildren. Teach our children to pass it on to our grandchildren. The benefits of keeping God's word. It was given at the family level. Because when every family would do this, it will immediately imply that the whole nation would do it. Is that not true? If every family were to do this, it would imply that the whole church would be doing it. Because every single family combined together would make up the nation. In our case, it would make up the church. And so if we have godly homes, instantaneously we will have a godly church. It will bring glory to God, and it will be a blessing to you. The problem with us is our emphasis in our own lives and in the lives of our children are carnal. That's the saddest part. We have no problem going out of our way to send our children for ballet lesson, no matter how expensive it may be. No problem, we will do it. We will send them for tennis lesson, and now because everybody wants to be Tiger Woods, so we have little children playing golf. So you have young children sent to play golf. My nephew, one of them, small little fella, said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to play golf." What's the parent's hope and desire? One day he will be a Tiger Woods. Why Tiger Woods? Well, he makes big bucks. Big bucks. That's what Tiger Woods' father said when he was alive. "You turn my son upside down, you shake him, money will just fall out of him." True. They pay him $3 million just to come to play in your country. You want him to come play in Singapore? $3 million. And so now we train our children, our sons and our daughters, to be Tiger Woods. Carnal emphasis. Family worship. Oh, what's family worship? Family worship means family come together, we play Monopoly. That's family worship. Right? Or family come together, watch TV. Family worship. That's the only family time we have. Or we go out together, walk along Orchard Road. That's family worship for many of us, because to us, it's worldly, it's carnal. And we pay the price. And then we talk about a godly church. We talk about praying for revival. God is not mocked. We fool ourselves. You want revival? Begin with your family. Begin right at home. Start with ourselves. Start with ourselves, literally. Because if you're not going to do it, your children are not going to do it. You cannot expect a 4 or 5 year old, "Daddy, family worship time." They're not going to do it. They're going to take the lead from father and mother. If father and mother consider it as not important, what is more important? Your tuition, your maths, your Chinese, your homework, your ballet, your tennis, your games, preparing them for the world in this life, forgetting to prepare them for the life beyond this life. That's our problem. Keeping the word of God is a benefit that will be good for us always, God says. The motivation to keep God's word, verse 4 to verse 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Motivation is love. That's the root of our problem. But many of us do not have family worship, because family worship is just a means, an avenue. But the Word of God is taught. But the Word of God is considered as precious, as important. What is family worship actually? What is involved in family worship? What do you do during family worship? Pray tell. There are certain elements that are non-negotiable. Prayer, for example, is a time where parents and children come together and pray. The reading of God's Word, where God's Word must be emphasized. Sharing with one another the trials and the problems that you go through throughout the entire day. Fathers and mothers will share with the children, and children will be encouraged to share the struggles that they go through. And then, of course, the singing of hymns, in some cases choruses. These are the basic ingredients that make up. You want to put in other things, by all means, whether you want a musical instrument or no music instrument, but the basic ingredients need to be there. But none of these things matter if you are not constrained and motivated by the love that you have for your God, because it will reveal the kind of heart that we have. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And fathers and mothers, it is crucial, because it is a revelation of the kind of treasure that you consider as dearest to you. The car, the house, the furniture, material things, or God. What we do, what we emphasize, and what we pass on to our children will reveal the kind of people, the kind of Christian we are. Because family worship will help us pass on the right kind of legacy. Imagine if from day one you teach your children the importance of family worship, ending the day as a Christian family together, sharing our trials, our difficulties, our problems before God's throne of grace. We pray for one another. And then when it is your time to leave this world, and when your children start their own family, how wonderful and thrilling it would be to your heart, isn't it, to know that they will do this to your grandchildren, their children, at the close of their day, as parents themselves, they will pass this on to the children. You pass on to them carnal guidelines, principles. They are going to pass the same carnal guidelines and principles to them. And please don't think that just because you're a pastor, you're an elder, automatically you're going to pass on spiritual things to your children. How many pastors, sons and daughters, elders, sons and daughters have gone wayward? Please don't think that success in church will equal automatic success in family life. Do not sacrifice your family because of your ministry in the church. Your family is just as important a ministry in your life as the church is. Every aspect of your life must be God honoring and glorifying. Family worship is just an avenue, but it is a very important avenue, because if you really love God, then time spent with your family before God's throne of grace will be very important to you. Don't just do it because it is a ritual. It is the thing to do, because everybody else is doing it, therefore I do it. It must come from the heart. If it is not from the heart, it is so hard to maintain it. You may do it because you have a strength of will and character to keep it for 6 months, a year perhaps, even 2 years. But to do it for the rest of your life, constrained by the love of Christ, come what may, you will continue to keep it. Because you love to spend time with God, together with your wife, with your husband, and with your children, before God's throne of grace. Because very soon, remember, your children will grow up and they're going to become adults, they're going to find life partners, and they're going to leave you. And when that day comes, you want to have family worship, it's too late. The best time to have it is right now. You should begin yesterday, actually. If you have not started it, it's really a little late. But better late than never. Do it. Not because everybody is doing it, because the pastor says, so you do it because you love the Lord and you want to pass something to your children because you're constrained by the love of God. That's what God wanted them to do. You don't just keep the word of God because it is good for you all the time. You do it because it is the right thing to do. It will bring glory and honor to my God, because it will help me reflect the true character of the God who sent His only begotten Son to die for my sins. And to also teach our children the importance of the spiritual values that they must always bear in mind in their lives. And to do that, you must have that spiritual value first in your mind. And that's why it is so important for young people who are not married to look for a life partner who is godly. Life partner who is godly. Because if you marry an unbeliever, you can forget about family worship. You can't have one. Because if one family member is missing, how can you call it family worship? It is a privilege and an honor and a blessing for the Christian father and the Christian mother. Don't despise it by not keeping it. It is your honor and your privilege bestowed upon you by your God. Keep it. Pass it on, constrained by your love for Him. Pass on the spiritual values to your children. That's the motivation. Verse 7 to verse 15, you have the duty to maintain it. Because the world is not a lovely place. It may be called the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But that wealth that they are going to soon enjoy will also at the same time be the greatest danger to the spiritual life of the Israelites. And so God gave them a very clear warning. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently, not momentarily, not once in a while, diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. That means you're going to teach it to them every waking moment of their lives. And you are supposed to tie them on their hands. That means have little black boxes. Some Jews would interpret these few verses literally, and so they will design these little boxes, which in English is called phylacteries. And they're normally black in color, and insert in it, they will put in Bible verses. The reason why they tie it on their hand is, when you do something, you'll see the little box with the Bible verse in it, it'll remind you, it'll jog your memory, I must do it, make sure that it is according to God's word. And they'll tie it on their forehead to remind them, I must think godly thoughts, I must think it, whether it is God's will for me to do it. So these are reminders that whatever you do, is it glorifying to the Lord? Is it according to Scriptures? Whatever you're thinking of doing, is it glorifying to God? Is it according to Scriptures? That's what it means. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand and upon the frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. They will paste it on the doorposts. As they leave the house, there'll be a Bible verse there. As they come into the house, there'll be a Bible verse there to remind them in their going out and their coming in. Remember the Lord. Do not forget Him as you leave the house. Remember the Lord is with you. The Lord wants to guide your life. Pray without ceasing. Trust in Him. Depend upon Him. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall brought thee into the land. Not if. Going into the promised land is assured. When the Lord thy God shall brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve Him, and shall swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. When is the easiest time we will forget the Lord? When is the easiest time our children will forget the Lord? When they taste success. When they become rich. And what are the aims and the goals of every parent for their children? That they will be rich. That they will be doctors, lawyers, nurses, professions that will give them lots of money. We fail to realize that when they are in that state, they are in the most dangerous state of their lives. The comfort, the deceitfulness of riches. And we put them there without realizing it. They are most vulnerable when they are surrounded by wealth, by the comforts of this life. That's what God warned them. When they were in the wilderness, they will always look to God. When David was a fugitive, he would not do anything without prayer. When he was living in the palace, his guard was down. That's when he fell. He committed adultery and murder. When we are rich and when we are surrounded by comforts and wealth, which is what many of us would want our children to end up, not realizing that that is where they are most vulnerable to the wiles of the devil. And they will forget the Lord. And once they forget the Lord, they are going to replace the Lord with the worship of idols. The idols would be perhaps in non-tangible form. It could be self, it could be the mighty dollar, it could be pride, it could be ambition, but nonetheless still an idol. And by then you want to talk about family worship, we can forget about it. And all they care about is how to make more money, because that becomes their God. And they will worship that God. Family worship is only a means. A means whereby it will help us as Christian parents to remind ourselves and our children that life is more than just the food that you have on the table and the clothes that you wear on your back. There is a spiritual dimension that your father and your mother love very much, and it is very real to us. And we want you to understand the reality of this spiritual dimension, and that's why we have family worship, to share, to talk. See, some of the benefits of this family worship are tremendous. If you quarrel with your wife, when you have family worship, you have no choice but to make up. Do you realize that? How are you going to pray together when you're still sore and angry at one another? That's why family worship is so good. It's an antidote to prolong your sin. You have to fix the sin that you have with one another. It's also a time where you can read God's word, memorize God's word, share God's word, study God's word. It is also a time where you teach your children how to pray, because how will the children learn to pray? Through how they listen to your prayers. And they're going to mimic, they're going to learn how mom and dad ought to pray. So you better learn to pray correctly, because your children are going to pick it up. And when the teachers ask the children during Sunday school, okay, now your turn to pray. And then when they pray, oh, this probably learned from mama and papa. They learn a lot of things. They learn to pray. They learn also about the blessings that they can receive before God's throne of grace as a Christian family, to bring all our problems and all our cares to God. To know that we do not need to go through life on our own, no matter how difficult and how problematic the life is, we can bring it to God as a family. To get the children to pray for you, even as you pray for the children. And then also a time that you can share your life. This notion of generation gap between father and children, or parent and child, is a concoction of the world. When you have family worship together, you share your life. The so-called generation gap is bridged immediately. Share. Honestly, openly. Share your life. And then, of course, it will become a legacy, a pattern that you hopefully may pass on to your children. It's wonderful. Not only do you learn, or do you teach your children, you learn from it yourself. So you remember a time when my daughter Abigail was very young. She is here somewhere, and I hope she won't mind me sharing it, because I don't think she remembers. I remember, because it was a rebuke to me by her. Came back one day, I was very upset, and I took it out on her. It was not her fault, but I was a terrible father. Took it out on her. And then that night of family worship, when their children are very young, we use children's books. We don't read directly from God's word. We read children's book that talks about stories. Godly stories. Stories about instruction, about God's word. And so it so happened that night was about a father who came back home and scolded the daughter unjustly. And the daughter in the story cried. And then my daughter also cried. So after reading it to her, my daughter said to me, "Daddy, you are like the daddy in the story." So I got to apologize to her and ask her to forgive me, just like the story, what the story did. So the family worship benefited me. It caused me. Because if not for the story, as a father, normally father doesn't say sorry to children, right? Oh, pride! But right then and then, I have to do it. I was wrong. The blessings that you receive from family worship, you cannot count it. It's real. It cannot be bought with money. You have to experience it. And if you don't, the loser is you. And if you have a Christian father, a Christian mother, and you do not have family worship, it is your loss. Remember, I agree with you, it's not found in Scripture, but it is just an additional avenue, a means toward an end. And the end is to teach our children the reality of God in our life. That this world is more than just dollars and cents and the things that are material. There is a spiritual dimension that is far more real than the physical realm. And to teach our children the importance of ending the day before God's throne of grace, to pray together, to commit all our cares and our problems and our burdens at the foot of a cross as a family. How rich and how wonderful a blessing and a legacy to pass it on to our children. So the question is this: how is your family worship coming along? If you do not have one, start one. Simple. Just get a good family guide. Could be the RPG. It could be just the Bible itself. For us in our family, we just read through the book of Proverbs every day, every night. Because the Proverbs, book of Proverbs, there are 31 chapters and there are 30 days in the month, and they will just keep on reading one chapter a night. So tonight we'll be reading chapter 19, because today is the 19th and tomorrow is the 20th, we'll do chapter 20. Then when December comes, we start all over again and over again. Hopefully some of the readings will stick into our own mind, into the minds of my children, that when they go into the world, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance some of the wonderful teachings, instructions that you find in the book of Proverbs, that they will not fall into sin. Because the world out there is not a friendly world. It's a wicked world. And we are not omnipresent, but God is. And the Bible promises us that the Spirit of God will bring to remembrance what they have learned. But if there is nothing to remember in the first place, even if the Holy Spirit wants to bring to remembrance, but it's blank, how to bring to remembrance nothing? That's why we have to do our part. Our human responsibility is there. You have to do whatever you need for your family, to tailor, to pattern something that will fit your family, but to make sure that it comes from your heart. A heart that loves the Lord, and you do it because you're constrained by your love for Him. And that's why you do it. And that will sustain you. Sometimes you may miss it once in a while, but don't stop. Keep on doing it. It is very, very important. Don't turn it into a chore, into a ritual. Please. It is important. Keep the family worship. It is the means to a very blessed and wonderful end. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy holy word. And we thank Thee also, Father, for families, for Christian family that Thou hast given to us, Christian fathers and mothers. And we pray, O Lord, as Christian parents, that we may discharge our duty and our responsibility as Christian parents to pass on that which is eternal to our children. And one of the ways where we can do that would be through family worship time. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou will help us to regard family worship time as precious in our sight, to know that this is a blessed and wonderful time where the entire family may bow before thy holy presence, seeking thy favor and thy praise and thy blessing. O Lord, raise up more Christian families that will always honor thee above everything else. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.